Attention class, settle down. My name is Chris Connolly from the band Hot Panda, also known as your professor. Let's get one thing straight. If there's some of you that think this class is going to be a walk of the cake or a flop about in the park, you are sadly mistaken. Half of you will drop out. And the other half of you will wish that you were dead. If I could offer any advice to those of you still hell-bent on attempting to pass my class, it would simply be to keep your radio tuned to CITR 101.9 when you're in Vancouver.
From July 8th through 12th, 2014, UBC's Vancouver campus plays host to the Special Olympics Canada 2014 Summer Games. The games are an exhilarating and moving event for athletes with intellectual disabilities and their families. The organizing committee for the 2014 Games is looking for volunteers. To ensure that members of the university community have the chance to participate, UBC has secured a limited number of volunteer spots for students, staff, and faculty. Visit the UBC website for the 2014 Games to learn more. Vancouver2014.ubc.ca.
I'm gonna be round my vegetables. I'm gonna chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all.
Sprouts, you've ate here before. Community Eats is back for the summer.
We are your local food co-op.
We are your volunteer opportunity.
We are your meeting place.
We are your nutritious Friday lunch.
We are sustainability.
We are community.
Eats every Friday.
Come by with a reusable container, donate, and tell us what community means to you. Friday, 11:30 to 3 p.m. Food, fun, friends.
I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we are waiting for today's guest, Betsy Chase, or Chassie. I'm actually not sure how to pronounce her last name. I'm waiting for her phone call. So I'm going to play a song while we wait, and hopefully everything will work out. And in the meantime, I just want to let you know that the Vancouver Wellness Show is coming to Vancouver in a couple of weeks. And I believe it's February 14th, 15th, and 16th at the Vancouver Convention Center. And I have a pair of tickets to give away. So I will be putting out the cue to call coming up sometime in the next hour here on CITR. Oh, and you may also be listening online at CITR.ca or in Nova Scotia at Axe Radio Canada or CosmicDimensions.com and PowerRadio.com or on the Co-Creator Network. And thank you for tuning in wherever you're listening from. So remember, if you do want tickets to the Vancouver Wellness Show, then keep listening and I will be back in a few minutes with more synchronicity. Here is some Surya Devi. In the meantime,
Neko David. I am under.
Yay! Welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. That was Surya Devi with Nako Devaraya from her album, The Surya Sound. She's going to be live here during Funding Drive, so that's going to be lots of fun. Can't wait to see her. And our guest called in, wife, mother, and award-winning producer of the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, Betsy Trassey, thought she had it all figured out until she realized she didn't. The truth was she didn't know anything about happiness, love, spirituality, or herself. Nothing, nada, zilch. Welcome to the show, Betsy.
Oh, thank you so much. I apparently don't have a phone figured out either.
Oh, that's okay. It happens. No worries. So yeah, Betsy had called the wrong number, but we got the right number and we're connected. So, and we got to listen to that lovely song. So it all worked out. So you are the author of Tipping Sacred Cows, and you're also working on a new movie, a sequel to What the Bleep Do We Know. So just maybe bring us up to speed with why you decided to write this book and what's going on for you.
Wow. Well, gosh, it's a big question. I mean, I decided to write this book mostly because, you know, that's what I do. I share life through, you know, writing and filmmaking and storytelling. And for me, you know, life is just this, it's a trip, right? And I made this movie called The Bleep, and it in a way told me I had all the answers to life. So I kind of went out for 10 years and was like, I've got to figure that out, man. I got it down. And, you know, life is very funny. It has a way of letting you know when you're getting too cocky. And so my beautiful, wonderfully crafted reality just sort of fell apart completely. I ended up getting divorced. You know, the husband, all those things that I thought were perfect ultimately weren't perfect, and I was really unhappy. And I couldn't understand why I was unhappy. Like, you know, you have all the things you're supposed to have, right? You have the house, you have the car, you have the husband, you have the kids. It's all, like, there, right? And I really wanted to understand what was it that was missing for me, and what could I do to really find that thing that we're all looking for, that happiness, you know? And what I eventually, so I wrote the book as my own exploration into understanding, you know, what is the meaning to life? What do all these things that we talk about in our cool spiritual circles, like the law of attraction, living in bliss, enlightenment, spirituality, I create my reality, what do they really, really mean? And how do I really make them, really incorporate them into my life in a way that I can be happy?
Thank you, Betsy. And I read your whole book, and at the end I cried, and it was, I mean, it's a great book, and it's interesting how we have such different lives. You have a come from a big family, I have no family, and yet it's like, I think anyone can relate to this book, because we all go through this, especially as spiritual seekers. I mean, we're seeking because we're seeking something, that it feels like there's something missing. And we're always looking for this happiness. And if we're not happy every second of the day, we tend to judge ourselves.
Right.
And it sounds like you're figuring out that finding your bliss and finding your happiness isn't about sticking a smile on your face all the time.
Well, I think that, you know, for me, I decided that I stopped looking for happiness. I stopped looking for bliss. I stopped looking for enlightenment. You know, one of the big tenets of spirituality is this concept that everything you need is within you. But then we're always doing things outside of us. Like, if I do yoga, I'll meditate and I'll be happy. If I do this vision board, then I'll have a reason to focus on what I need and I'll be happy. And we're constantly looking for ways. And in doing that, what we're telling ourselves is something about us is wrong. We don't have something. You know, your life is not good because you don't have this, that, you know, the Mercedes or whatever. And so then I'm constantly telling myself something's wrong. And so for me, I just stopped and looked around at my life and said, oh, well, okay, what is in my life that I like, and what is in my life that I could probably do with changing? And got real about that. Like, it's not like, you know, I figured, oh, I need to, you know, change my hair color, which I did recently. But I mean, I got really, I think the whole concept of tipping sacred cows is really about doing the work. We have this tendency to want to fix things in three easy steps. You know, I always love the articles on these online magazines or magazines where they say, you know, women, find balance, schedule a spa day, like as if, you know, scheduling a spa day is all you need to find balance in your life. You know, and for me, I realized that was just one-dimensional. I really had to clean up myself, and I had to get in there, figure out what it was that I believed about myself and about this world that was creating the life that I had, and clean that up, and from there, I could then possibly create the life that I really wanted.
Hmm. Beautiful.
It's not doing the work. You know, it's not really, it's about getting into the dark, ugly corners of your closet that you don't really, you know, those places where you kind of just open the door and you're like, ugh, I'll deal with that later. Yeah, it's time to deal with that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. You mentioned affirmations in the book a little bit, and I've been reading a lot about affirmations lately. And the thing is that if you're affirming something that is just pushing away those ugly feelings, they just go deeper and deeper, and then they start to eat away at you even more because you're not allowing yourself to actually look at those feelings.
Right. Well, the thing, I mean, I love positive affirmations. They're great. But the problem with positive affirmations is that I can sit here and scream, I am whatever, till the cows come home. But if I have an ounce of doubt, if I have one cell in my body that doubts that I am statement, it's not going to happen. So, you know, it's sort of like there was a guy in the Bleep who said, you know, positive affirmations are like smearing, you know, peanut butter on top of a bunch of negative affirmations. You know, so for me, I just decided to stop trying to do all these cool tricks to trick my mind and just to clean it out. You know, I'm still in the process. I'm still having, you know, every day I'm still doing all this work because I just feel like I wasn't living authentically. I felt like I was lying. I was lying to the world. I was lying to everyone in my life. And I just said, you know what, I want to just be truthful about who I am and what I'm doing. And the truth is, you know, I'm a human. I'm in this life, and, you know, I'm going to screw it up every day at least 1,000 times, but I'm going to do the best that I can. And part of that means that you got to sit with those negative feelings. Like, the thing about affirmations or vision boards for me was that, you know, I could make a vision board that said, you know, I'm going to have the house, I'm going to have this. And sure, I might get all those things, but the question becomes, why do I want those things? You know, like, I always use the example of the Mercedes. Like, you know, you put on your vision board that you want a nice car, and so you focus on the nice car. But I needed to start asking myself, why did I want that car? What was it about that car that was fulfilling me? So, you know, then I realized, wow, I want the nice car because the nice car makes me feel like I'm successful. It makes me feel like I'm, you know, respected. It makes me feel like I belong. All of these things. And then I started to say, well, what is it about my own life right now that I don't believe that I'm any of those things? And oftentimes when I kind of did the work backwards, I realized, well, the truth is I don't really want a Mercedes. You know, I want to feel like I belong. Oh, well, how can I do that within myself without having to try to manifest outwardly things? And not just Mercedes, but you know, a boyfriend, you know, marriage, you know, all these things that we think are what we need to make our lives what they should be. And then I could also get down to go, oh, I really want the Mercedes because it's fun and I happen to laugh when I like the car. Okay, that's reasonable. You know, you have to clean it up, and then if you really want it, go for it. You know, there's nothing wrong with wanting things either, but we just have to be clear as to why we want them.
Okay. Well, you mentioned something in the book, shoe consciousness. What is shoe mm-hmm. consciousness?
So I have a penchant for shoes. I love shoes, and I'm never giving that up. So I've cleaned out my shoe closet, my cows about that. I just love shoes. So, but for me, shoe consciousness means, you know, that sort of very, very one first dimension, you know, what kind of car am I driving? What kind of shoes am I wearing? Who's the boyfriend on my arm? All those things that look really good. But if you sort of, you know, peel back the curtain, you realize that there's a lot of yucky stuff underneath all that. And so it's not really real. It's just kind of like the outwardly things that make it look like we're all sort of together and happy.
Mm. Thank you.
We like to put on a brave face. I mean, I think for me, one of the things that I decided to do is to stop putting on such a brave face, because I think that's what people are really looking for in my own personal life. I've developed in the last couple of years some really wonderful friendships out of just being real and being authentic, as opposed to the Betsy before who you looked at and thought, wow, that girl has it all together. You know, she's got it all figured out. Because I didn't have it all figured out, and I don't have it all figured out. And when I can sit with that, you know, other people can sit with that, and it actually makes you feel better about your life, you know?
Actually, I wanted to ask you about that because you, it's... Now, for me, I have one specific incident that I'm thinking of, and I'm guessing that you have done this over sort of a period of time. But after the show one day, I was speaking with a teacher, and I just was like, you know, I'm going to be totally authentic today, and not in a negative way. But she said, how are you doing today? And I said, I'm feeling a bit sad, but I know it'll pass. And I could tell she was really uncomfortable with my honest answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, because we want to fix it. You know, because when you say to somebody, I'm feeling sad, there's a difference between empathy and sympathy. Right?
Yeah.
So what happens is when you say to somebody, you know, I'm feeling sad, they immediately want to be sympathetic. Oh, don't feel sad. Everything is great in your life. And then what happens is you're now being told that feeling sad is not good and that you should get over it. When, you know, now in my life, when a friend calls me and says, ugh, like this morning, I gave a perfect example. I am totally PMS, which means I'm moody, okay? Which means that, like, you know, I woke up with this kind of feeling a little bit down. And, you know, so, I talked to my boyfriend. I'm like, oh, I'm PMS-y and moody. And instead of him going, oh, don't feel bad, blah, 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 he was like, wow, okay, I understand that. That's empathy. You know, that's empathy. Because then he's not telling me my feelings are wrong. He's not telling me I shouldn't. He's not telling me, you know, gee, you should be so happy. Your book is out. All these things are going great. He just really was like, oh, I understand that. I understand that. And people have a really hard time with that because we want to fix things all the time. So, I don't need to fix something in you. I want you to be heard. And, you know, when, I bet you know this, when you feel like you've expressed something to somebody and you truly feel heard, it's amazing. That is what that's that whole, you know, idea of feeling connected, feeling, you know, this unconditional love, those things. When you're feeling heard, and feeling heard comes from empathy, not from sympathy.
That is so true. And there's a portion in the book where you tell a bit of a story about a situation where your daughter was trying to express her feelings to you. Can you remind us of that?
Oh, gosh. Oh, look, I'm so ADD right now, but the coolest thing just occurred. I'm sitting outside, and this teeny, tiny little hummingbird literally just landed, like, 2 feet from my head. It
wow.
was so cool. this happens a lot. You know, so my kids are, like, awesome. I mean, they are the best teachers. And, you know, I'm a mom. I got 2 kids, and, you know, I'm probably failed them daily. But, you know, I learned from all those failures. And my daughter came home really mad at someone, you know, like, and you know, we always, as spiritual people, always want our kids to be like indigo children and all this stuff, and right, they're supposed to be wise beyond their years. And my daughter was really mad at this person, and I tried to tell her, like, I was being sympathetic. Oh, don't be mad, you know, gee, you want to love her, and you want to show her, understand her kind, her meanness, and accept and be willing to see her perspective, and all this stuff. And my daughter just looked at me, and she was like, you know what? What she did really hurt my feelings, and I just want to be hurt for a minute. I want to be angry. Can I just be angry? And I was like, God, that's what we do to each other. It's okay for her. I'm teaching her, don't be angry. But, you know, and what? So she's going to shove it down and ignore it and pretend it didn't happen and then, you know, not deal with it? So I said, you know what? You're right. God, be angry. Yes, that person did something to you that hurt your feelings. And in her, and then what happens is that in her ability to just be angry for a minute, then she processes and moves on.
Okay. And I totally see that. And then I'm wondering, what's the difference, though, between, because for me, when, and maybe this is because of all the times that I've had to push it down, but once I start, like, somebody pissed me off today, and then, oh, and then there's this other thing that bugged me, and now there's this other thing, and it starts to snowball, and I get into this totally negative mood, rather than just, like, venting, oh, okay, now I feel better, thank you. What's
the
difference?
Well, I think because we have to do the work around it. Like, it's really easy to just spiral downward. But see, this is where you have to be conscious. This is where you have to be aware. Because what I do for me is like there's a game in the back of my book. It's called My Life Sucks, you know? So I let myself process the anger at that person. And it might take an hour, it might take a week, it might take a month. But while I'm doing that, you know, I'm asking myself really important questions about it. Like, so if I think this person has wronged me, you know, why do I think, what happened and why do I think they wronged me? What's my belief system around that situation? Is there a way in which I possibly could see it a different way? You know, so that I'm not just sitting in there, you know, bashing the other person as they're being bad. I'm also doing the work around it. You know, but I don't think you can honestly do the work around it and answer those questions honestly if you don't let yourself be angry at it first. I'm really angry because this person did something to me that really hurt my feelings. Yes, it's okay for my feelings to be hurt. Yes, I acknowledge that it's okay for my feelings to be hurt. I let my feelings be hurt. And then I go, okay, well, why did it hurt your feelings? What is it that you believe that makes that particular situation hurt so much? Oh, because when I was 7, this happened. Or, oh, because I believe I'm not worthy. You know, there's all these little things that are tied to why we get upset. And oftentimes when I'm willing to just do the My Life Sucks game or just kind of think about it, honestly, I can oftentimes go, oh, you know, gosh, I see why this person hurt me so badly. And most of the time, it actually doesn't have so much to do with that other person. It's really you carrying some belief system within you that gave you a wound and that person just dumped salt in it. That doesn't mean that person didn't do what they did. It just means that you took it in a really personal way because of a belief system you're carrying around it.
So then, Betsy, does being aware of those triggers and those beliefs help? Like, how do you clear that? Because you're friends with Joe Dispenza. He's been on the show a couple of times. And we do have neuroplasticity. We can create new pathways in our brain. But those ones that we've been feeding for decades... Mm-hmm. That get triggered on a daily or weekly basis, those are deep wounds. I mean, they don't just clear overnight when you're aware of them, do they?
No. I mean, I don't think so. I'm dealing today. I have a situation that it's like, God, I'm really partly because I'm PMSing. So of course I'm like super sensitive, right? So, you know, it takes practice. You got to go through the steps. You got to ask yourself the questions. You have to make a commitment. Like for me, one of the big shifts in my life was that I promised myself that I would be conscious and aware of my thoughts and actions and the feelings around them, and that I would have an honest conversation with myself about why I have them. Nobody else has to be around. You know, you can do this by yourself, so you don't have to be embarrassed, you know. But for me, if there's something that's happened in my life that's really bruised me, hurt me, then I sit down and have a conversation with it. Why is this hurting me so much? What's the thing about this that's really bugging me so much? You know, what part of me is being offended? See, for me, and I think a lot of people, it's just a lot easier just to be pissed off and offended and then put it off on the other person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's much easier to go, well, that person's a jerk. Or in the spiritual circles, we all like to go, oh, I brought that person into my life to teach me a lesson. Then we're blaming and judging ourselves. You know, look, we are human beings. We've collected a lot of sacred cows, most of which we aren't even aware of. So I also give myself a break. You know, I say, gosh, oh, that really bothered me. I got really upset about that, and it's okay. It's okay, you know, because we tend to say, oh, now you're not being very spiritual because you let that person upset you. Well, no, I'm just going to be a human and get upset, and then I'm going to have a conversation with why it upset me. And then I'm going to get clean about it. And I'm going to do that over and over and over and over again. Because that's the thing. And so for me, that was one of the things that really bothered me with, you know, kind of being on the spiritual path. Is I'm never making any progress. I'm still stuck in this place. I'm still, oh, I thought I had cleaned that up. You know, I'm okay with the fact that I'm going to repeat a lot. And that's okay. I'll get it eventually.
Yeah, because so many times we go, God, why do I keep making the same mistake? What a loser. Why am I so stupid? That's what we say to ourselves.
Well, you know, for me, with in the game, My Life Sucks, you know, one of the parts that I love that's the best for me is to be willing to admit that I failed at everything. It's just, because you know what? I could just say, like, God, I failed today at parenting because I got mad at my daughter. I wasn't patient with my son. I was late, whatever it was. You make up, you know, I failed today. Oh, yeah, okay. So if I failed today, good. I've admitted that I've taken responsibility for my failure. Spiritual people don't like the word failure. Again, there's that sympathy, empathy thing. And then I go, oh, well, what can I, oh, tomorrow I can do something better. Cool. Because you can't, there's nowhere to go. Once you've gone to failure, there's nowhere to go but up. So I try to shift the conversation around it. You know, shift the instead of judging myself as like, oh, you're a terrible mother. Look, I finally really, you know, it's, again, it's about being okay with stuff. I know a lot of moms who are terrible moms one day. You know, we all do it. Stop beating myself up over it, you know? Because I know, I know for the most part I'm a pretty dang good mom. You know, it's also about accepting the goodness that you have in you. You know, I went through a long time of feeling, because I got divorced, that I was a terrible mother and I was a failure at a mother because I failed my kids and I ruined their lives. And it was a lot of guilt and shame, and I had to stop doing that to myself, you know?
Totally, yeah. And we do, especially... sometimes the more spiritual we are, the harder we are on ourselves.
Yes, that's true. That's true, you know, because we think we know better.
Or we should know better. And
right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's time for a break, so we will be back with more Synchronicity in just a moment. We are speaking right now with Betsy Chassey. She is the author of Tipping Sacred Cows, and we're going to talk about what a sacred cow is right after the break. And she is also one of the co-creators of the movie What the Bleep Do We Know. There is a sequel that they're working on right now, and she's going to be in Vancouver at Banyan Books very soon, so stay tuned for more information about all of that. And now, that's my drum roll. This is the cue to call. If you want to go to the Vancouver Wellness Show, February 14th, 15th, 16th in Vancouver at the Vancouver Convention Center, I have one pair of free tickets. So if you give me a call, 604-822-2487, while I am playing the ads that are coming up in just a moment, 604-822-2487. First person to call in is going to snag a free pair of tickets to the convention center, the Vancouver Wellness Show. So we'll be back with more Synchronicity in a moment. Thank you.
Are you not sure where to go on campus? Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? Call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Oh my, become a friend of CITR and get great discounts downtown at
The Baker and the Chef, Bangon T-Shirts, Cherry Bomb, House of Vintage, Beat Street Records, Down Levy Snack Bar, The Fall Tattooing, Fortune Song Club, Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinematheque, Perch, The Portside Pub, Save on Meats, Vinyl Records, and Zoo Shop.
Wow, it sure does pay to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus, or go online to www.citr.ca. Keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. For sure.
There's only one way that old clunker is gonna make you feel good again. donate it to Bullying Canada. Check this out. Free towing or pickup of your old vehicle, a tax-deductible receipt, and a super easy process. Online at bullyingcanada.ca. Get rid of that old vehicle and feel good about supporting real solutions for change in your community. Donate your old or used vehicle to Bullying Canada today. Full details online at bullyingcanada.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and of course, your soul. We are talking with Betsy Chassie. She is the author of Tipping Sacred Cows. She's one of the co-creators of What the Bleep Do We Know? And I'm your host, Marie Bernard. You can find me at spiritualshow.com. Welcome back to the show, Betsy.
Thank you.
Yay. So we've talked, you've mentioned sacred cows a few times. The name of the book is Tipping Sacred Cows. So maybe we should talk about what's a sacred cow?
Ah, that's an excellent question. Well, so in my mind, a sacred cow is anything that you hold up against criticism. It's anything that you're not willing to look at, that you just accept at face value as being. And we have a lot of those. So, like, you know, in society, a sacred cow is something like the Constitution or the Bible. These are things we just sort of say, this is what it is, and that's it. So, you know, in your own life, if you start to ask this question, well, what do I have that are some sacred cows, you can kind of start looking at things, starting with your life. You know, look at your relationship with your partner. You know, how do they treat you? How do other people around you treat you? You know, do you always feel left out? Do you always feel like you're the victim? Do you always feel like you're getting the shaft? Do you always, you know, and then you can say to yourself, well, gee, why do I always feel like that? Oh, because within me, I've got a belief about something. About, you know, for the most part, I think, for most women at least, and I think a lot of guys too, it boils down to self-worth. We have a lot of issues around self-worth. So oftentimes for me, that's where it always came back down to. You know, I had self-worth because I didn't go to college, so I never felt smart enough. So I had to deal with that. So I was always trying to do things to make myself feel smarter or make myself feel accepted. But because I didn't feel smart enough, I would always feel like, oh, I failed. I didn't do that. Again, I go back to the book where I talk about this game called My Life Sucks. And one of the ways to get really clear on those hidden beliefs that you carry, those little sacred cows, is to play this game called My Life Sucks. And, you know, I like to try to do everything with humor because I think laughing is sort of the best thing. I mean, if you think, like I said at the beginning, life's a trip. You take a moment and you look around at your own life, it's kind of funny, like the things that we get ourselves into and the things that we do. So I just try to look at everything with a slight sense of, you know, irony or humor to it because it just reminds me that this too shall pass. So hence the game, My Life Sucks. And I like to play this, by yourself. And the other trick here is don't write things down, record yourself. Because we have a tendency when we're writing to edit. Because you have to think of it first, and then you write it. And then as you're about to write it, you will almost always change what you first thought. Mm-hmm. Or you'll analyze what you first thought. And the point of the first step in My Life Sucks is to not analyze. So you just sit down, and you start thinking about why your life sucks. My life sucks because I got divorced, because I married this guy that I shouldn't have married, and then, you know, I had kids, and then I got fat, and then, you know, whatever. Just start rattling it off, and just let it go for it. It's like, whatever pops in your head, throw it out. The next step in My Life Sucks is to blame everyone. Because, you know, whether we do it honestly, you know, openly or not, secretly, in your mind, you're blaming someone. And there's always someone you can blame. I'm short because my parents were short, and therefore they had me, and I'm short, so it's my parents' fault. You know, I gained weight because I had kids, so I'm going to blame my kids. I never thought I was pretty because when I was 7, this guy told me that I was ugly. He's a jackass. You know, go for it. Blame everybody. Get it out. And then the third step is to just, like I said before, I just admit that I failed. Okay. I failed. I failed life because I didn't go to college. I failed life because I got married too young. I failed life because I didn't take that job that I could have taken that would have made me go around the world. It lists all the reasons why you failed. And have, you know, again, don't edit. Just throw it out. When you're done with all those things, you might feel kind of crappy. And you might feel like, you know, wow, my life is a miserable mess. But now is the time to transcribe what you wrote, because you'll find that you said things that you didn't even think were in your head. And the next most important question is to ask yourself, is any of this actually true? Because you believe it's true because you said it. Even if you were half joking, there's a part of you that believes it. And once you can look at that, you can start to look at your life and go, wow, I'm really angry because in high school, I wanted to date this guy and he didn't like me, so I dated this other guy and I built this whole story around love and never getting the one that I really wanted. So now I've been doing that my entire life. I mean, it's pretty mind-blowing. Wow. When you think about it. And that's when you can start uncovering your sacred cows. And then you can start to say, well, wow, is it really true that I don't deserve the man that I really want or the woman that I really want? Or is that just a story, a belief I picked up along the way and I can let go of? And then you have to start looking at your life, you know, and then being thoughtful and conscious. So if you get asked out on a date, and you there's a part of you that knows this guy isn't right, but there's that other part of you goes, oh, I've been asked out. Somebody finally asked me out. I'm going to go on the date. Listen to that part that says, you know what, this person isn't what you want. Make that choice. You can't even make that choice most of the time because your brain goes into, it's so fast, our brains are so quick, that it immediately goes into desperate for love, we'll never find the one that I want, so we're going to take this date. But if you take the moment to just stop, let yourself have the initial thought, which is, oh, I better take this date because nobody else will ever ask me out again, process it, and then ask yourself, well, is there something else that I could be thinking, or is there another answer here? You'll hear that little voice in you that says, no, you really don't want to go out with this guy because he's not right for you. And then you can make that choice. But you have to be conscious of it first. You have to realize, oh, I realize that I probably want to say yes to this guy because I don't feel like I'm ever going to find someone to truly love me, and so I'm desperate, so I'm saying yes. I don't have to do that now. But you wouldn't even been aware of that if you hadn't really done the work to figure out that that's what's going on, why you keep dating the wrong guy every time. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense, yes. Thank you. And I'm so happy that you shared the My Life Sucks game. It's so amazing, and I didn't want to give it all away because it's at the end of your book, and I didn't want to give away, you know, one of the most juicy and valuable gifts. So I appreciate that you shared it with us. Thank you.
My pleasure. Well, you know, that's what we're here to do, is figure out why our life sucks and change it.
Yay. All right. Well, I am curious. I want to ask you about the sequel to What the Bleep Do We Know. But what would you say, aside from the My Life Sucks game, what is one of the most important things that you want people to get from the book Tipping Sacred Cows?
I think that the most important thing I want people to get from reading my book is that, you know, it's okay to flail around in humanness. We're all doing it. Nobody has it figured out. There is no 1-2-3-step program, you know. You just have to be willing to do the work on yourself. And you also have to realize that ultimately the decision about the meaning and spirituality in your life comes from you. You know, we have to make choices. And you have to make the choices that are the best for you. And that if you listen and trust yourself, you'll be able to do that. You know, so I think a lot of times we don't trust ourselves and we're waiting for someone else to tell us, well, no, do spirituality this way and then you're spiritual. And that just isn't the case. You know, for me, I had to redefine what it meant to live a spiritual life. And I decided that for me anyway, there was no, oh, this is spiritual and this isn't spiritual. I started my spiritual journey when I was 44. No, I started this journey, you know, at least in this reality, the minute I was born, and I'm still on it, and all of it is my journey.
Thank you for clarifying that, because you do talk about quite a few times in the book about the masks that we wear, and one of them is the mask of spirituality. And I do find sometimes, for my own experience, and I'm not saying this in a judgmental way because everyone has a right to their beliefs, but sometimes I get talking with some spirituality people and I'm just like, this is a bunch of BS. Mm-hmm. What is coming out of your mouth, you can't actually believe that that's true.
Yeah, I mean, because most of the time we're just spewing what we hear. You know, we're recorders. And we just repeat whatever we think other people want to hear. I mean, that's a big chapter in my book, is that whole idea of, like, what are you wearing to the masquerade ball called life? It's like, oh, I want to be perceived as someone who has a knowing of spirit, what it means to be spiritual. So therefore, I'm going to go around and pick up all the cool spiritual sayings and talk about them all the time. I always joke about, like, the person that, you know, walks into the room with the biggest smile and the biggest pair of Bliss Bunny slippers and rose-colored glasses and says, I just totally love myself. I'm so madly in love with who I am. I'm usually thinking to myself, oh, that person has real self-worth issues, you know, because it just feels inauthentic, you know. And we have, and for me, I just really want, when somebody says to me, you know, don't you just love yourself unconditionally? I go, you know, not really. I try, but, you know, I sometimes have conditions. I'm working on it.
And that's really all we can do is, and I really love also in the book, there's some words like love and forgiveness that we really kind of whitewash. Like, it's just this all-encompassing term. And there's really different ways of loving. There's different levels of forgiveness. And you talk about acceptance and forgiveness. They're different things. And a lot of times people say, oh, you should forgive, you should forgive, you should forgive. And there are things in life that we have to accept if we're going to be able to function. But
right, well, yeah.
Sorry. I mean, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, I mean, right. I mean, you have to, for me, the only thing that I have to accept is that today I'm alive and I'm going to do the best that I can do. And that's really all I can do. And I'm going to be okay with that. You know, here's the thing. You have to be careful, because the flip side to this is just saying, well, I'm just going to go out and be an asshole all day because I'm allowed to be whatever I want to be. You know, there has to be some integrity in your behavior. You know, there has to be some willingness to take responsibility. You know, so if I'm a jerk to someone, then I need to stand back and go, wow, I was a total jerk to that person, and take responsibility for that. But on the other side, you know, we're all humans. We all have our stories. Everybody that you're interacting with has got a story that you probably don't even know. So for me, I just start every interaction with that, wow, I'm dealing with another human who has a whole story about their life and a belief system, and they're probably not going to hear me in any other way other than through that filter. So I'm going to do my best to communicate with them in a way that they can understand me, because most of the time we don't understand each other.
Okay, I have one more question before we talk about the sequel to What the Bleep. With regards to people's filtering systems and having integrity, there are some people who use spirituality as an excuse to be jerks, because they say, well, right, if I'm a jerk to you, then you must be attracting that.
Right.
And so that's your problem and you need to work on that, honey. It's like, right. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
How do you deal with them?
What I say is, like, look, you know, I get to choose my response to anyone. Right, I get to choose how I respond to any person. So if somebody's being a jerk to me, and I choose to continue to let them be a jerk to me, then guess what? I'm responsible for that. But if someone's a jerk to me and I choose to just walk away, then it's on them. I don't have any control over their behavior. So I don't get to say, oh, it's all my fault that I let them into my life. Now, here's the thing. You know, like, a perfect example is, you know, my marriage. I got married. You know, I was in love. I married someone. And then I got divorced. Now I could sit back and go, wow, I brought this person into my life. And, you know, I did do that, right? And I did make choices. And my choices were based on the belief system that I had at the time. So, yes, I learned something from my marriage. I learned a lot about myself from my marriage and my divorce. So now I'm conscious and I'm thoughtful, you know, when I interact with somebody else about what kind of person I want to let into my life, you know. So there's that. If you're conscious and you're thoughtful, then chances are you're not going to be letting people into your life that shouldn't be there, because you'll be aware. You know, it's funny to me when I sit back and I think about all the interactions in my life where somebody has been a jerk to me, and I actually can see, like, well, Betsy, had you been honest and not just wanting to get laid, then you would have said to yourself from the step one, do not interact with this person. So in a way, yeah, we are bringing them into our lives because we're letting them in. But this idea that it's all your fault because you brought this person into your life, you didn't bring them into your life. You met each other. You interacted. And then you get to choose how you move forward. And sometimes, you know, people are really good at masking themselves so much that you don't know who they are. And then it's up to you to say, well, I'm done with that person. You know, that's the thing. I mean, you take a lot of blame. You don't have to blame yourself. It's not like you're a failure and you're bad because somehow you let some person into your life. Sometimes they just, you know, people are hard to read. People are hard to figure out, and it happens. You know, we don't have to sit here and make ourselves feel bad because of it, you know? Oh, okay, that happened. Next.
Thank you so much, Betsy. And it's been such a pleasure reading your book. The name of the book is Tipping Sacred Cows. And you are coming to Vancouver. You're going to be at Banyan Books. Do you know the dates for that?
I'm going to be at Banyan Books on February 20th. I don't have a lot to say right now, just so you know, about the new bleep, because it's all kind of really early on in the process. But yes, I will be at Banyan Books on the 20th of February. And I'm super excited. I'm going tonight to a book event in Los Angeles, and people can find out where I'm going to be and when I'm going to be by going to my website, BetsyChassie.net, and clicking on events, and my entire schedule is there.
Awesome. And your last name is C-H-A-S-S-E, BetsyChassie.net. And, okay, so we have about 10 minutes left in the show. I have a meetup group called Vancouver Self-Improvement Enthusiasts, and there's people listening, and they had wanted to ask a question, so I don't know if they'll be able to get in touch with me soon enough to pass that on to you. But what would you like to spend the last few minutes of the show talking about?
Gosh, we could talk about anything. I mean, I think, you know, It's for me, I think the reason I'm excited about, you know, sharing about my book is because I think one of the big messages that I want to get out to people now, I feel like for a long time, we've set up a very big divide, this us and them. And one of the messages, I'm writing about this right now, is this idea that, you know, one of my favorite sentences is when someone says to me, oh, I wish they'd wake up. And I always say back to them, they're saying the same thing about you. And I feel like there's this separation between, you know, the new age, new thought, you know, and everybody else, because maybe people don't necessarily agree with you or do what you do, you know, just because they don't do this kind of yoga or they don't follow that guru or they haven't read that Deepak book, somehow they're less than. And I think for me, one of my biggest missions is to just say there is no us and them. It's time for us. You know, we talk so much about this big shift in humanity that's coming, you know, that's supposed to be happening. And I think the real revolution isn't going to be that science is going to find the answer to the explanation or the mathematical equation for everything. And it isn't going to be because some, you know, guru is going to finally explain everything to us. I think the real revolution in terms of humanity is going to come when everybody lets go of their need to know and be right and have the answer and to just look at the person standing next to them, whoever it might be, in the line at the grocery store, in the car next to you in the stop sign, somebody you don't even know, and just looks at them and says, gosh, that person is having a life experience just like I am, and it's probably just as hard. And we just find that empathy, and we find that to me is love. That's unconditional love. You know, when you can just look at somebody you don't know, when you can just say, wow, it's hard here. And there is no difference just because I read this book and you haven't. We all have these incredible life experiences. I wrote a lot of personal stories in my book because I feel like that's the way we're going to transcend, is when we're all willing to sit with each other and share some of our greatest joys and some of our greatest miseries and just look at each other and say, wow, gosh, I get it, you know?
Thank you for that, Betsy. It is interesting, and you do talk a fair bit about ego in the book and how we say we should overcome our ego or get rid of our ego, and that feeling of us and them, that's ego.
It is. I mean, I mean, in the New Thought, New Age spiritual movement, you know, there's a lot of ego bashing. The other thing I find really interesting is that there's a lot of desire to bash the human experience. You know, we all want to go and levitate and get out of our bodies, and we all want to have out-of-body experiences, and we all want to hang out in other dimensions. And that's all really cool, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that, but I find that a lot of people are just really skipping the part of the game. Like, if life was a video game, we all want to skip the part where we learn how to master the body and mind that we've been given. We all want to just get out of it. And one of the ways we do that is we say, oh, the ego's bad. The ego is a tool that we have been given. You know, just like we've been given this body with, you know, usually two arms and two legs, and, you know, we have the ability to eat, we have this whole system developed for us. So for me, I've decided that instead of just bypassing learning how to make that work, I just really want to make that work, which means part of it is to go ahead and understand that the ego is not something you need to kill, it's something you need to learn how to use. Just like a fork. Learn to use your ego and your fork. And a lot of the times, you know, our ego is built around the belief systems that we carry. You know, your ego, and there's lots of definitions of the ego. And in my book, I kind of call it, you know, first of all, it's the piece of you that helps you be grounded in this reality. And it also is part of your filtering system. So, like, you know, if you have a pool, you have a jacuzzi, when the filter gets all clogged up and dirty, random junk is getting in there. So clean out your filter.
Hmm. And one of those ways is through the My Life Sucks game.
To me, it is. I mean, there's a gazillion ways. I'm not saying you have to do it my way, but there's lots of ways to do it. But I think the most important thing you should do that I try to do is that whatever process I'm going to use, that I enter into it wholeheartedly and honestly, you know, because that's where it gets really scary. You know, you go to these workshops and we talk about some of the stuff that we do, and it's great because you have that weekend where everything feels really good and you got to cry and you got to laugh and somebody gave you some insights, and then 5 days later you're on to something else because it wasn't fast enough. It didn't fix right there. Like, but I did that weekend where I cried for 3 days, and it should be gone now. You know, chances are, as we were talking about before, it's not going to be gone. You're going to have to keep doing the work, you know. Eventually it'll be gone. I mean, Dr. Joe, what does Dr. Joe say? I love his book. He wrote the foreword to my book, in Breaking the Habit of Being You. I think it's like, you know, it takes 21 days to break a habit. Which means you have to be on it, like, you know, like quitting smoking. You know, if you try to quit smoking and then 5 days in you start smoking again, you're starting over from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really hard when it comes to these belief systems, these sacred cows that we've been embedded. It's super hard. So just be gentle, you know, with that. Be patient.
I'm not patient.
Yeah, we want to be fixed because we think somehow we're going to get, oh, if I fix this, I'm going to get to the next level. Here's the thing. There is no next level. This is the level that you're on. It's like, you know, we can talk about dancing in other dimensions, and sure, that's fun, but it's funny because then you come out of your three-hour meditation, and guess what? You're still, unless you go live in a cave for 21 years. I have a story about a guy in my book who, you know, went off to the Himalayas and did all that for several years, and he still came back, and he still was a human. After all of that, he was still a human.
Was that the monk on the plane?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a funny story.
You know, it's like, I think people need to accept and come to terms with, you're having a human experience. Have it. You know? Have it. How cool is it that we get to wake up every day and that we get to do this? And then, you know, take some responsibility. Your life is the way your life is because, you know what? You did it that way. And you know what? If you did that and you don't like it, guess what? Tomorrow you can wake up and do something else. Okay. You know, there's this great, I don't know how much time you have, but like one of the big concepts is this idea of attachment. And, you know, people oftentimes make the idea of attachment about, you know, you're attached to things and you're attached to people. And for me, when I finally really understood, and I'm working on implementing it in my life, the idea of attachment for me was the realization that nothing lasts forever. Things change. So this moment that you're having right now, like for me today when I'm kind of moody and pissy, I can have my moody and pissiness and I can be okay and let myself sit there because I also know that tomorrow it will be different. whether I want it to or not. It's going to change. You know, things never stay the same. So when you can enjoy it while you have it or experience it while you have it, but also be ready to go to the next, that's non-attachment, you know?
Hmm. Well, Betsy, I wish we could talk about this all day. I'm sure we could very easily, but Parts Unknown is coming up in just a moment here on Synchronicity, so I am going to have to say goodbye. Thank you so much for your time. The name of your book is Tipping Sacred Cows. You're going to be at Banyan Books in February 20th, you said?
Yes.
Yes. So if you have been enjoying this discussion and you want to hear more and you want to speak with Betsy in person, go to Banyan Books on February 20th and see her there. Is there anything quickly that you want to add before we say goodbye?
I hope that the weather is wonderful up there. Are you in Vancouver?
I am. It is beautiful today, yes.
Oh, good. I hope that you guys are having a wonderful weather up there. And just remember that it's okay. Everything, like the thing I remind myself every day in the midst of all the chaos is everything is going to be okay. It's, you know, life is crazy, and we, like, got dropped into this video game, and it's like, whoa, and I always, whenever it gets a little like, whoa, I just stop and go, take a deep breath and go, everything is going to be okay.
Mm. Thank you so much, Betsy. It's been such a pleasure, and I look forward to meeting you at Banyan.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too. Take care. So again, the name of the book is Tipping Sacred Cows, and that was Betsy Chassy. I wish we could talk more, but it's time for Parts Unknown. So I want to send my love to you. Have a wonderful week. Be well. I love you so much. Namaste.
Tell me about it. Just look at our morning guy.
Hello. This is Mole Man in the Morning. Good Mole Man to you. Today, part four of our series of the agonizing pain in which I live every day.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, not the